Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello all.
Hello Devin, and we're joined by a returning guest. Back again, Jim Smith from the Tradesman's Channel. Jim, welcome back, brother.
Hey, good to see you, boys.
Absolutely.
Good to hear you. Good to see you. Good to chat again.
It's been a while. I haven't talked to you like much, I guess, since Maker Camp. So,
and it's been. I think we're all very busy people.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I always feel that, like when you're making stuff, you're a content creator. You like feel bad because you want to put stuff out there because the people that like to watch what you do, they're expecting it. But you know, sometimes life is life, man. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Oh yes. I have not put a video out since December.
Yeah, it's all right. And we'll chat about that because I looked at that video. That's kind of cool. So we'll chat about it. All right, Devin, what do you got to start us off with?
You're a ghost driving a meat-coated skeleton made from stardust, riding a rock hurtling through space. Fear nothing. I saw that on Instagram today. Shane Mooney Woodworks.
Yeah.
I thought that was, it's just fun stuff.
What's that? Is that a Jack Nicholson quote, or you just gave it the Jack Nicholson voice?
I don't know. I think you're a ghost driving a meat covered skeleton. No, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what it's from. I just like it.
Yeah, it's wild.
You know, Devin, you're not that depressing in person. I don't know what happens to you when you read these quotes off, but...
That's supposed to be exciting.
I guess so. I appreciate it.
You're a ghost driving a meat-coated skeleton. It's like a meatloaf cover, you know? Bat out of hell or something.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. a ghost driving a meat-covered skeleton. What a visual, man.
Molly Hatchet. You ever see Molly Hatchet covers? It's an old classic rock band, but it's like all Viking, super crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Good covers, like, not a great band.
Nice. I like the idea of base, like the breaking it down to the base of what we are, you know, like sometimes it's like, you know, you don't think of us as like what like physically are, you know, but I like the meat covered skeleton, you know, but you're a ghost driving meat covered skeleton, you know, sometimes I think about it like my brain, you know, our brains are basically like controlling a robot, you know, like an organic robot with the rest of our body.
It's an amazing machine. Engine.
I know, right? And all that knowledge, everything that we do that makes us like, you know, an actual person breathing, thinking, like interacting with people, doing a podcast, like doing YouTube channels. Yeah. Like what makes us that humanity is something else, right? It's not just the physicality of it. It's something that makes us different because there are lots of physical organic creatures on our planet that are not the same as us. It's crazy.
And what do we do with those talents, Dustin?
Drink beers.
We send dirty pictures of our nether regions to people.
I always go back to the comment. I forget who I heard it from, but they were like, we've got these phones, you know, these things in our pockets that have all the information of all the, any question, answered any question you could ever want for all the information in the entire history of the world. And we use it to send funny cat pictures to each other. Like, we just look at funny cat pictures. Like, it's so good.
No, what a resource and a boat anchor all at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Couldn't get along without it, you know? I
mean, that's
you and us, man. Yeah, if you tip over and hit your head on anything hard, you die. So we're very, very sensitive beings.
Yes.
So I want to talk about how you two have both become big deals at Maker Camp now. You went from people just stumbling around and talking to people to now you're both teaching and hosting. And Jim, you're doing the timber in, and you're going to be erecting a structure this year.
Yes. So I wore my knees out for this, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I won't tell you how, but... Austin's got a big family there, and I tell you what, it took some doing.
They're talking about working the wood, but maybe
you don't want to get splinters. That's all I'm going to say.
Comedy podcast.
you knew what was going to happen, Devin. You knew what this was going to be. In all seriousness, Austin got a hold of me a few months back, and Justin has gotten so busy in life with his boys playing sports and everything he's got going on. It became pretty much too much to be able to make that trip. I mean, that guy is so busy. And, you know, the rest is history.
Is he not going to come at all? Do you know?
No, apparently not.
Can't make the trip this year.
We're just left with Jim.
Yeah. Well, Chip is going to be there.
Oh, okay. You got to have somebody to, like, you know, point stuff to, you know, point out how people are doing things wrong and make sure you keep just working either way.
Yeah, we need a cheerleader.
We need a cheerleader. I guess he's some type of cheerleader.
He's like a drill sergeant, is what he is.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a witty, dry drill sergeant, though.
Yes. The instructing part, it's going to be different for me because I'm used to just jumping in and taking over, and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to let people do their thing. So it'll be a learning process. But we're actually doing a 16 by 16 kind of a more of a modern style, simple frame, but a little more modern tone. Smaller timbers, but a lot more of them.
What's the structure?
I can't tell you that. You got to show up and see it.
Really? You can't tell us?
I mean, it's on Instagram.
You can't give us a scoop?
I guess it is like on imagery. Instagram. Yeah. We got timber drawings. We've got, like multiple levels with.
It's a fancy porta potty.
Ooh.
Yes. All right. It's actually going to be. So Austin's grandfather passed away over the winter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's actually going to be a house for the peacocks. Austin's granddad loved peacocks.
Right. Oh, they got the peacock cage.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm assuming, I'm not for sure, but I'm assuming this will probably go, I would assume, near the entrance coming in. And,
kind of there where we're used to seeing them there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Where the other, structure was the first one.
Yeah,
which was such a nice spot to build it in. That was first two were great right where they were.
Did you help out last year on the timber?
I actually showed up and helped teach at the timber inn, and
go ahead.
It was nice because we were able to test fit. I'm big on test fitting joinery before raising day, and we had enough people there who'd done it a couple times now that we could go through, and every joint got tested, and we had that frame stood in less than a day, all done at Maker's Camp.
Should I try to shout out everyone who was there and try not leave anybody?
All the people you remember, whoever timber framed.
I'm like, and wait, who's that guy's name? Shoot.
And there's that one guy I don't know that well. He wasn't that interesting. What's his name?
Both Sean and I were planning to make it over there. I mean, I was doing the bow making, so I was a little bit more like tied in. But Sean was definitely planning on making it over there. On like he had looked at the schedule and he was like, okay, well, there's the timber framing on, you know, like Friday and Saturday or whatever, Saturday and Sunday, you know, a couple of days. But then you guys got it up, and in one day he and I walked over and it was like done. We're like, damn.
I felt so bad for him because he was looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That poor guy couldn't catch a break last year.
Well, I guess it was
he
good
is coming this year, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah, Sean will be there this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I love that guy. He'll be up with us. Well, and Devin will be back this year.
I'll be back this year, and I will make sure to come over right as you put up the last one. I'm like, I was going to help.
Oh,
I was
going
to do a lot of stuff. I was going to help.
I don't care if you're pushing a stroller. You're going to be there helping.
Yeah. No, I will, because someone has to shoot some footage this year. Because Dustin, no one even knew he did anything there last year, so
it's not true.
Everyone
who was there knew I did stuff
on the internet. Yeah, 400 people really knew it. Well,
that's right.
Hey, I knew you were there, Dustin.
That's right. Yeah. I did
don't,
end up.
Don't what, defend
I
him.
Reached out to like Matt Harris from Matt Harris Studios. He had some video of me. I think I forget who else. I know like Mareko sent me some pictures, and I forget somebody else sent me some pictures. I was like, whew, glad somebody did, because
yeah, Dustin's like, I spent all this time with like Mareko and these guys, and it was awesome. I had this set up. I was like, sweet. What do we got? Got some pictures, video. He's like, no, I didn't tell you that.
Poor Mareko. Mareko hung out a little too late around the fire and got to sample my humor after
nice.
You know, a few toddies. The poor man walked away.
He's like, all right, Jim, it's been nice. I'll talk to you
next
year.
Yeah, nice to meet you there, you know. But Jay Nielsen, on the other hand,
oh yeah,
loved it. Same humor.
Man, yeah. It was a wild ride last year with all the rain and everything, but yeah.
Oh, wasn't that nuts?
Here we go.
That's crazy.
Of course, Devin wouldn't know. He's busy having kids and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Too good for us, you know.
Why did you have kids earlier in life like the rest of us did?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's in for it, though, isn't he, Dustin?
I had fun beforehand, you know.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Then once we retired, me and my wife retired, all right, we've had enough fun. You want to? Yeah, let's have some babies. Let's do it.
All right.
Have a different type of fun.
This year, Corinne, my daughter, she's 14 now. She just tonight got back from her final 8th grade gathering. What they call the egg dance, EGG, 8th grade gathering, but it's the final dance of 8th grade. So she'll be there this year. And she's excited.
Oh, nice.
That's crazy.
You bringing your son back with you again this year, Jim?
I'm hoping he'll come this year. He's had a very serious girlfriend for over a year now.
Oh, so Lord have mercy.
And I think they're finally at a point where he doesn't mind getting away.
Okay.
So. Didn't take long.
Well, it's been over a year, so.
Pretty good for he's 16, like, I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good.
Well, then he can, like, write her loving texts and stuff.
Oh,
and
that'd be sweet.
I can't wait to see you, babe.
He knows better than to do that stuff around me.
So you're the reason why he doesn't want to come. He's like, Dad's just gonna give me shit the whole time.
I prefer to make my children emotionally unavailable. It's better that way. It's easier parenting. They don't come to me with their problems. They go to their mother because she'll help them out. I will not. I have no sympathy, or you know.
Everybody has different parenting styles, right? You're trying to build up their like their toughness, individuality, well, self-expression, self-reliance, yes. All those good things, right?
Yeah. Hey, my youngest disease carrier just got me back, though. She gave me strep earlier this week, and I'm just getting over it.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Nasty stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, my daughter just started going to daycare or preschool or whatever, and it's just every week it's something else.
It's the petri dish, buddy.
It's crazy. Oh, what's the joke? Like, I always thought I didn't get sick, but I just never had someone sneeze directly into my mouth every day. Like, it's like,
yeah, right.
Oh, it's just different.
It's just, yeah, right. Ugh, man.
That's gross. Well, Dustin, how many years have you been a teacher?
I started teaching the 2016. So the 2016-17 school year was my first year. So I just finished on my eighth year, I guess. Because next year will be four, five, and five, six. Yeah, yeah. Just finished my eighth year. And I fortunately have, I mean, I have a pretty solid immune system, and it's only gotten better because I rarely get sick. Yeah. Knock on wood.
It's been nice.
I'm, you know, years past the like daughter getting sick more often and getting me sick, because fortunately she doesn't sneeze into my mouth often.
But, well, not, I hope not at in eighth grade. That's just rude.
That's just rude.
What are you doing?
It's just weird with a twist.
I'm not like holding her in my lap bouncing. She's like, she's bigger than my wife.
she's a tall kid.
She is, yeah. She's probably almost maybe 5'7", 5'8", now, you know. So.
Yeah, that's pretty
and,
tall.
Know, full size, full grown woman.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun having her. She's a good kid.
She is.
Jim, if you don't know, you definitely don't know. I mix her name up with my daughter's name all the time when I'm talking to Dustin.
All the time, yeah.
And then, but it's also when she was little, I think of her as the same age my daughter now, which is three, because Dustin and I lived together when she was, what, like 2 to 4 or whatever?
Yeah,
so it's like just having that little blonde person, I mix them
up
all the time.
Right back.
But I'm okay with it.
Isn't it so wild when you start seeing them grow into their own person?
Oh, it's so crazy. So sweet.
I know.
It's sad and it's cool at the same time.
It is, yeah. I just had that thought. It was like, you know, today was my last day of teaching for the year, so I'm done. Yeah, all done for the summer.
Good for you.
I only had like two students actually come in the building into my class. Two of my students were there today. The rest of them were all out. They haven't been out for. I mean, most of them haven't been here for most of the week because it, you know, grading ended last week. We had a final presentation thing on Monday, and then, you know, both Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they didn't really need to be there. Some of them came in because they just do and they're help cleaning up and stuff. But I had that thought. I was like, oh, another year in the books. Like all these little babies, you know, we're talking about like the seniors that, you know, I have this like, you know, because I teach 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So and they stay with me. Those same students stay with me through all 3 years, right? Because they stay in architecture for architecture 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And so I see them, you know, all the way through. I watch them grow up and mature, and then they leave, and then I rarely ever see them again. You know, I might get a student or two or three come in, like, you know, the next year, or just pop in. Sometimes it's, you know, seniors from past or students who left and came back, and otherwise it's just like, yeah, you know, I just don't have. There's too many students in my life to be able to keep up with.
Too many,
you know, all the students that go away, but you know. I just hope I have a little effect on them. Just a little effect, you know. Make sure they know there's, like, you know, people in the world that care for them and love them no matter what they do, and always trying, you know, hoping for the best. And that's what you want, like, people around you, right? You want the people around you to feel loved.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we're putting Jim back on, because he can put you in his place, in your place, when you're feeling a little too loved.
Yeah. So can you bring us back to manly talk, Jim? We've been too sweet the last 5 minutes.
Just had me wondering how much Jack Daniels has Dustin been drinking before he hit record on this.
It is hot in this studio, man.
It's hot in that studio.
You're sweating out of your eyes.
Somebody who likes kids. That's just weird.
You're making Jim uncomfortable.
God, what the hell is wrong with you?
What did Jared? What
Listen,
did
emotional Jared scars are the ones that work the best because they last forever. You've got to learn that in parenting and your teaching.
And teaching.
It's just better that way. Yes.
If you want them to remember.
Hey, you want to be that teacher they always remember?
It's like stubbing your toe. You always remember when you stubbed your toe the worst.
All right. So let's go to Timberin.
Okay.
Jim, so you're also doing that. And what? Give me the date. I know you got some spots left for people to join up if they want to come and learn and get things going and learn a lot of hands-on stuff.
So it's looking like July 19th to the 21st. Mm-hmm. I'll double check my dates here. I'm pretty sure I know it starts on the 19th. I believe it goes to the 21st. It's usually a good 3-day event. I'll get there a day early, probably stay a day late.
And is that like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
And yeah, it's nice. You went to the first Timberin, didn't you guys?
Dust that was
swung by.
I did. Yes, I was. I was up in Lake George, New York, which is about an hour and a half north of there, of East Durham. So I stopped down for a couple hours on Saturday at the first one. So, yeah, I didn't spend a ton of time there, but yeah, definitely stopped in and got to meet a few people. Like we had Justin on the podcast before that first Timberin. So we had met him met him through Instagram. We had him on the podcast. So I got to hang out, meet him and then meet some other people who are there, the people who, are there each year and always come back. So it's kind of fun to see those people. And, even just those couple hours, that's the nice thing about the Timberin and the Hammerins and stuff is that they're so much smaller than Maker Camp. Right. So you get this really intimate group and, with so many of us being the making part is so important and it's such a important part of what we do in our lives. So when you get a group, a tight knit group that can work really well together, that builds a really cool bond. And I think that's the nice thing that we really liked about the timber framing projects, all 3 years is that you have this, this little bit more intimate group and, it's like people are, you're shoulder to shoulder and you're putting stuff together and you're relying on someone to do something that it makes a kind of cool connection to the
it's
community.
It's awesome.
And we're getting to walk around, Yep.
The mainstays, the guys that have showed up to everyone, you got Tim, the shop teacher down in Virginia. He's become a mainstay. Gib Clark, he couldn't make it last year because of an injury, but he's coming back this year.
Oh, nice.
And just guys like that. Chris, the alchemist, all those guys, it's awesome.
And, Johns and
Ed Johns and people. That D-Gen Keith Drennan. And he is a wicked D-Gen. He is not a happy leprechaun.
I love his no new friends, the middle finger, that pin that he has. Oh, yeah. It's like the best no new friends.
He's one of my favorite people, to be honest with you. Him and Tony both. Keith. I love those guys. Yeah. What's neat is these guys are all picking up enough skills to where it's like, okay, we have to come up with a project that might challenge them a little bit more, yet something we could still get done. I'm all for cutting a huge frame.
Right.
But, and someday I hope we can down there. But these projects are kind of perfect. But this year the joinery be pretty straightforward, but it's going to be a little different. The construction of it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be like your standard standing of the bench. Think of this one as four sides of a box coming up together all at once would be the easiest way to describe it.
Right. Yeah, and I saw, on Instagram, there's the image of, you got the image of the front, a single bent. So it's, a peaked, multiple level, multiple, so is that what we're seeing? Is that what four sides will look like? Or is it that's a front and back? Okay.
So that would be a gable end. So the only difference you'll see on the eave walls, obviously, is you won't have the peak there, but...
Gotcha. But you will have the double... Truss, whatever, terminology. I can't remember.
You're gonna have a 6x12 clear span, or 6x10 clear span rafters on this one.
Okay.
The joinery's some different tying joinery, but it should be fun.
Nice.
And smaller joinery is harder to cut than large joinery. It's like think a chair building. The bigger the joints, the easier it is to get it accurate. Same with timber framing. Same concept.
So it's there's more tolerance, I guess, with a bigger joint. It's just
you just have more room to get the tools in, and see what you're doing a lot better.
Less precision needed. Yeah, I feel like it's when Dust and I made a proposed to my wife, we made a ring box. Mm-hmm. And I, for some reason, I just thought it would be no problem and real quick. But we could have, yeah, we could have made a bench. We could have made a whole chair set in the time that it made us, that it took us to build that, make that little tiny box, because everything was so precise and small and brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... But it's very rewarding, too. You know, when you get it done, you look at it, and you don't see the lines. I mean, we're going to have some... There's going to be a few spots of hidden joinery on this one. Oh, that I cool. think... I've kept the design pretty well under hat. Austin's gotten more images than anybody of it. Yeah. But get some surprises there.
Can you give us any more? So it's... You said it's... What, it's how big is it?
16 by 16, I believe, or was it 18 by 18? I've got it right here. It might be 18 by 18.
And there's going to be some type of cage built later, some type of metal caging or something after the fact?
Yeah, we've got to set it up in such a manner. Let's see, there's the cut sheet. Bear with me, I actually have this stuff right here.
Nice. That's good. I just taught my students all about cut sheets because we have a what we call the design build. So they design a thing and then build it for a client. And so, you know, when you have a bunch of stuff that's got to go together, you're like, yeah, okay, well, now we got to come up with a cut sheet. So, like, just having, like, a brainstorm session with them to figure out the cut sheet was interesting. You know, a lot of teacher-led stuff, but it was nice to be able to, you know, get them in that mindset. And they're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, one of our students, we had the presentation on Monday, and she was like, you know, now I look back and see, like, all the work and all the, like, planning and stuff that went into it, and it made the building of it really easy. And she was like, I understand now why we spent so much time on, like, coming up with cut sheets and coming up with plans and measurements.
She had a wax on, wax off moment.
She did. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is why you've been teaching me.
I was like, I'm so proud. She understands now.
Now catch a fly with
chopsticks.
That's the teacher's style of kings. So how tall is it?
Six. So overall height, I have that here also. Well, you're asking me a lot of tough questions, man. That's right.
If people can put it together in their head, they deserve to have a little sneak peek.
Oh, is that what you're trying to do here? You can ask me questions. And how tall?
I'm just drawing it. And what does the edge look like? Yeah.
We're going to show up, and it'll be, like, already erected. Devin's like, I made it, and put it up.
You know, Devin, I think maybe it's time for you to mute your mic, and Dustin and I will just have a conversation. I mean, shit, you couldn't even show up the last one. That's ridiculous.
Oh, man, jeez.
I don't care what you had going on at home. I mean, come on. A little over 12 feet at the peak.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Dang.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's all you're getting, Devin.
Well, that's what you say. Give it some. I'll ask more later.
give him a little eat later. Throw a question in when we're talking about something else.
And how wide is the gap between?
And your answer is going to be none of your damn business. You got to show up to find out.
So, isn't it? So for the two or three nights, is it? What's it? $300 or $400 for the whole thing?
I believe so. Yeah.
I mean that so, is. Really a good, I mean, even just for having a place to stay, because they'll hook you up with somewhere to stay, and then, you know, they're,
and then they,
I mean,
feed they got you.
They got the food there. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's what a good deal, and you learn from a bunch of decent guys like Jim and the whole crew he was talking about. And if you're, like, nervous about just jumping
don't
in, don't be. They're all cool, especially... It's easier with a smaller group because everyone that you see, you stand in there, a bunch of the guys are going to be like, hey, come on over, check it out. Like, do this. Jim will get behind you and do the ghost thing with you, help you cut something.
That's right.
Make you feel comfortable.
That's right. I'll pinch your butt, whatever you need. You know?
He's there to make you feel comfortable.
In all seriousness, I come across very sarcastic in general conversation. You guys have known this over the years.
Yeah.
When it comes teaching time, it's a different scenario. I teach apprentices all day long at work.
And,
you know.
Definitely. I remember that about, obviously, with you being there. Like, we've you know, built a couple things together now, and so, like, when everyone's in the mix of it, like you said, you're used to, like, just jumping in and helping out, you know, and just doing stuff where it needs to get done. So then, like, you have to be able to, like,
try to take a little bit of backseat. I mean, not quite. I mean, obviously, you're all there to work together, and you're part of the team, right? But you're also there to, like, encourage people and give other people a chance to do that type of stuff, right?
So, oh, yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
They pay to go there and learn.
Right,
you know, especially in the intensives that they offer, which, honestly, if you go and price out a timber framing course, even for a weekend, usually food's not included, not at that price point. So honestly, Austin and the Handel family have really come up with a very good, hotel room they put you up in.
Yep.
They give you three squares. I mean, they take care of you. It's an awesome place.
Think of it as like a, it's like a, it is a resort, so it's like a maker resort. So you go and you learn the stuff, but then the food is there, and there's a bar there, and everyone's having fun there, and it's just like you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to worry about transportation and stuff. Just get there, and then once you're there, you're set.
You're set.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. I don't have enough good to say about that family and what they do for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good, folks. It's been a blessing. I was actually talking to a couple of my coworkers today and mentioning how I, go, like, I rarely ever take time off from work. One of the reasons why, because I don't get sick that often, like we were talking about. But yeah. But when I do, it's like I always take off for Maker Camp, So it's a couple of days in October, I do like a Friday and a Monday, and like last year and this year, I'll do again like a Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So I take 3 days off then. But my coworkers were like, well, you should just put it in as like professional development. Because literally, it's like the most professional development that you can do for what I do in my classroom, right? It's like I'm teaching architecture, but it's all about, like, we're using total boat epoxy to pour stuff. We're doing, it's all like I'm teaching them joinery. I'm teaching them woodworking. I'm teaching them, drafting and drawing. It's all the stuff that we do and all the stuff that we like, all the people we meet at Maker Camp. So I'm like, maybe I could do it. Like, it doesn't have to be like my paid time off. It can be an actual, like, making retreat. Like,
Real quick to interject, why did you buy 1,000 things of Total Boat? Was that for the sailboat or what?
Yeah, I bought 1,000 things. You mean $1,000?
Was it $1,000?
$1,300 worth of Total Boat epoxy.
Moly, for what?
Nice.
So my juniors, what we were saying earlier, they do what's called the design build project, right? So we work with a client and they come up with designs based on what the client needs, and then the class does it. So the what we were building was a display case. We were building a few different versions of display case, but one of my students had an idea of this, like, basically a cube, like a 20-inch cube that was open, cut through from front to back, right? So you just have like the walls of the cube, but it's open on the front and back. And then it was metal, or it's a wooden box with like a 1.5-inch coat of basically like red clear epoxy around the entire outside.
Okay.
All right. So the way we figured out how to do that was to like put the box vertical and then basically screw it down inside of a form box, and then we poured down along the edges 10.5 gallons of Total Boat deep fathom resin.
Damn.
And it's a crazy, it's like, $150 a gallon. So it was it was a lot.
Looking at the Art of Craftsmanship email was just like Total Boat Ore, Total Boat Ore, Total. It was like a page of Total Boat Ores. I was like, what is he doing? Right.
And I used
interrogating you.
I used crafts with Dre Andretti. That's Andretti, or Fendetti. Dre Fendetti, which is Man Made in Mass, and Dre. The couple, we've had them on they were in the video that 1 year. But I used her discount code to get whatever, like 10% off or something, and then get a little kickback for her too. So I was like, I know some people, I can use some connections to get this a little cheaper. So that was actually cheaper than what it should have been. But and it was we actually ended up, one of the hardeners was like leaking when we got it, so I just took a picture and sent it back. I sent a picture to them, and they were like, okay, we'll take care of it, we'll send you a new one. And we ended up needing it. It was perfect. So came just in time.
All right.
They do a good job. They do a good job there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the nice thing. They're super supportive of the whole maker community. So, and they'll be
big time. It's opened up a good market for them too, which is nice. Yeah.
So, I say for this year for Maker Camp, we talked about it for last year, but I obviously couldn't come. Doing some type of, you have your normal stuff that you did last year, where you you demonstrate and then you go and shoot, and you demonstrate and go and shoot. But I think we need a maker competition this year, like a mini tournament of the makers. Jim, you're invited, obviously. Dust will be there, and we'll just do rounds. We'll do a little bracket, get whoever wants to shoot the bows, and you can take a few practice shots or train any way you want, but maybe on one of the days, maybe on Saturday, we'll, for an hour or two, we'll do like the a little bracket and see
a bracket system.
There you go. Nice. I'll have to bring my own this year.
Yeah, absolutely, do it. That'd be great. I need to, yeah, I need to buckle down and make a couple more, just so I have some more to talk about and some more to show.
You do a nice job.
Did you hear that I broke the one last year on the last day?
Yes, that is heartbreaking, isn't it?
It was like, you know, I saved the one that was pretty close to being finished tillered to the last day, just so I could like finish it out and show people like how I use the, you know, the scale and stuff, and just take little bits off and you know, showing them how they can look at the bend and, you know, the tillering and stuff. And basically the last one, I'm like, all right, we're there. Just like the last one, I was pulling a little bit further and bam, it exploded. It was like 5 minutes from the end of my demo. And I was like, I couldn't ask for a better way to end the demo. Like, and they break sometimes, you know, like,
here you go.
And I was able to show, you know, where there were cracks and stuff and like what the probably the reason why it broke, you know, which was.
Did I bring you any birch last year?
You didn't. You brought Mike from Big Bear.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But
let's see if I have some kicking around.
You did. Yeah. No, you brought me your newer hatchet that you made, and so I had both the hatchets that you've made for me that both are working well.
That first one you should toss out. That thing's terrible.
Well, I mean, I will say that it's not the form is not the best, but the function is really good. Like the angle that you put on the blade is actually really nice and it works well. Like, and although like there are things about it that like aesthetically and the way I would do something might not be exactly right, but none of that really matters when it works well. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it matters because we all balance form and function because we want something to look good, you know, be that sexy appeal to it. But I will say that it works really well. Like, I actually used that quite a bit when I was just doing like, you know, rough shaping, because I liked that it had a nice like flat grind to it that actually worked really well to
pull shapes. Yeah, I like them like that for carving. That second one was much better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prettier hatchet, but they both like I was saying to Devin earlier, they have a little bit different edge, you know, bevel on them, so they work better. Yeah. You know, they do their own thing. They're both nice, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do a much more. I do a much pretty low angle grind on those.
Yeah. Speaking of tools and stuff, you've been like doing a ton of stuff with all the timber framing chisels and slicks you've been making. Those are beautiful, man. So nice.
I have not been able to fire my forge up since December.
Mm. Well, before
I got promoted at work.
Oh.
I got promoted at work to field supervisor, and I'm covering a territory the size of Vermont.
Oof, man.
And I'm getting a little tired, because when I can't get to my shop to do things, I get a little grumpy.
Oh man, I believe it 100%.
So once we get some of these other guys trained up a little better, I can get back. Hopefully, I'm hoping before Maker Camp I can get a.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Or before the timber, and I can get a few chisels cranked out to bring along. Right. But yeah, I enjoy making those.
Do you have any of the ones you've made, or are they basically all come and gone, sold?
Come and gone. I even shipped a batch to Australia, which was really cool.
Oh, right on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they're definitely, I wish there was more of that. There should be, because there's so much room on the place. I know the last year I went, they actually moved all the like selling stuff off to that one lane over there, which was fine. But it was also kind of, I felt sorry for the people because it was kind of out of the way. I wish that middle bit could be like a flea market where you can sell your stuff. And I know you guys, when you're presenting stuff, you sell stuff there. But I think there should be an area over where you can just sell stuff, because people have money and they want to buy stuff from you guys. So if there was a little bit more of a push to like, hey, be a presenter or be a teacher at this thing, but also please bring stuff to sell, because I think all you guys could clean up. Because the whole vacation's kind of cheap anyway, and I know there is some stuff, people have some stuff at their tables, but
put it out.
I think there should be more of it, for sure.
I know Austin's pretty open to that. If you're, I don't want to put words in Austin's mouth, but I think he's pretty open to that within your own demonstration.
Yeah, right. I mean, you see that, like, the blacksmith guys, they always have stuff out, and like, No Hammer Forge was there last year, and he was selling. You know, like, I think most people have that, obviously. Okay. You know, like DeForest, he was there doing like, you know, leather stuff, but also selling. I think as far as I could tell, and like same thing, you know, from my conversations with Austin, he's pretty open to having that happen. But yeah, I do like the they have the whatever it's called, like Market Row or something, and it was a little bit bigger this year than it was the previous year, so they are like they're making that road is all specifically for people, you know, for selling stuff, and which is pretty cool. I keep cool stuff.
Okay, so should you give away or sell your swag? What do we think?
I think it depends on where you're at.
I think it depends on how much you can actually sell. People who can sell it.
Yeah, if you're at a point where you're trying to grow and you're just trying to get yourself out there, if people don't know who you are, the chances of them buying your stuff is probably going to be pretty minimal, in my mind. If you get to a point where they know who you are, they're probably going to be willing to spend it, and you're going to have subscribers and people who come there to see you because they know you're there, which I've run into that a couple times now, which I'm a tiny little content creator who really hasn't put anything out in months, but it's still kind of neat. So for me, I probably wouldn't try to sell anything other than like my tools with my markings on them.
I had that same thought too. Like, you know, it depends on the thing, right? If it's something you make that you're making to sell, right?
Then
t-shirts and hats and swag and things like you're saying, Dev, is like, you know, that's one of those things. Like, if you want people to wear your gear, You know, like, you could sell it, but, you know, you can also give it away. Or, you know, and like you're saying, Jim, it depends on what size you are, right? So if you're small and you want people to know, like, okay, give some stuff away, you know, give out 20 t-shirts. But then if you're big, like Brunt, you know, they gave away hundreds of hats last year. And everyone was wearing the Brunt hats with their logos on it, you know, like, so then, you know, they're on the other end of the spectrum. Like, they're there to support the community, but they also, they know if they do this specific thing, like, everyone's going to be wearing those hats. And sure enough, everyone wears the hats. And everyone, you got the Brunt logo on it, and it's got your own logo on it, and how cool is that? You know, like...
Oh, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like... Cool. Yeah, and the businesses, they just write that stuff off anyway, so it's not a big deal to them. Yeah, or you're just Jeff Fader, and people buy your stuff anyway.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it's a, if it's the niche thing that people see that thing, and they're like, oh, I see that everywhere, I want to have that. You know,
I, pay for I think it was the second year, and I heard him complaining about bringing the stuff. But then he did bring it, and he did set up, and everybody had those stupid hats. I was like, well, it worked. Whenever you did, people were buying your gear.
Well, Jeff complains about everything, so.
Well, that's true. That's his shit. It probably makes people want to buy it more.
Yeah, right.
I got to bring these stupid fucking hats in, and now you know, no one's going to buy this shit. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to be the one that buys. And then 1 out of 10 people at Maker Camp have those beanies.
It's true. Everybody does. So, Jim, when you're doing the slicks and the chisels and stuff, I was looking at your thinking about it earlier when I was looking at it back, you know, last year, and then again now I was looking back again today. How do you do the socket? Because I feel like that's like the hardest part of the forging. How do you do the socket?
It is,
you know, the connecting the handle.
So I cheat. I do cheat.
If it works in the end, it's not cheating. It's just making.
You're right.
It depends on how you do it.
So what I do, and it's kind of a process. Mm-hmm. So I've forge welded a few sockets, and they come out decent. Lot more waste, definitely. It takes about... For me, it takes 4 or 5 times as long to make a chisel if I'm actually forge welding sockets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what I do is I made a bic for my anvil, for my hardy hole, and I take Schedule 40 steel pipe, so it's a thick wall, and I forge out the actual, I forge out the socket on that.
So and you're starting with, like, what size pipe are you starting with?
Like so for the slicks, I'll do 1 inch. For the regular chisels, I'll do 3/4 inch.
Okay, yeah, and then you're just drawing down,
Coning it out. Yeah. So, and then I forge a tenon on the end of the chisel.
Okay.
So I actually I forge out in the chisel body itself. I forge out part of what looks to be the socket. Mm-hmm. And then the end of that, I forge a tenon into it, clean it all up nice. Everything has to be annealed. That's the thing. Okay. To actually arc weld on tool steel, you really need to anneal it. And that's the trick. So when I say anneal, get it above magnetic. I put it in a big tub of perlite, leave it overnight, and then that metal's nice and soft. Then you can weld it.
And then clean the Schedule 40 is just a mild steel.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're getting the properties you want of the tool steel in the body, and then you're getting that toughness you want in your socket. It's actually a pretty nice way to make them.
That sounds like a lot of work for cheating. I don't think you're cheating at all.
It sounds like a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
But I guess you're not cheating.
I can get a lot more consistency that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah. If you can make a better tool, I mean, that's you know, ideally you want to do that.
And
again, it's your own level of that's how much you want to go. Right. So like, you're obviously if you want to make a bunch really quick, then you know you you send them to China, right? If you want to make them a little slower, that's right. You know. But if you know you want to make it by hand, but you don't necessarily have to waste all the material to do a forge welded, socket, then use something better. You know, use something that works well. Also going to do exactly the same job and maybe even better. You know.
Well, so. And I've torture tested these. I actually did a video on one where I just beat the shit out of it with a sledgehammer. And I mean, I beat it to failure, and it took a lot. Yeah, but the socket, it was the actual wooden part that failed before the socket. The socket, I haven't gotten one to fail yet, and I'll do a bend test in the forge press. Mm-hmm. That's 37 ton, and I haven't snapped one.
There you go.
Damn.
So you're doing something right.
I truly believe in if I'm going to, and I don't sell them for exorbitant price. Right. I think, the slicks I sell for a little over 200.
Mm, that's super good.
The chisels themselves, like a 2-inch, I think I sell for like 140, something like that. Kind of a fine line between a manufactured price and a handmade price.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's why I say, like, you know, you got to sell the thing that for what feels fair to you for the amount of time and effort you put into it, right? That's the kind of the way I always get, you know, always price my stuff. So, you know, fully handmade knives are going to be a certain price. The, you know, partial, like the sheep shear knives that I do, right? I'm going to charge a separate price for that, a different price for that, because it's like I'm trying to make sure I'm making out what I feel I put into it, you know? So it's all about what you feel good. Mm. You know, as long as you can feel good and you can sleep at night with your own prices, then charge what you want, you know.
You can sleep at night in your bed pile of money.
Well, for me, I always feel bad charging people. Just because you guys know how it is when you're raising kids, you're raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
Economy's rough sometimes and it's tough to part with that money. And so I hate to charge. I hate to overcharge. I know I could get more for some of the stuff I make.
Right.
But the other part of it for me, it's not my primary income source. I have a very good job.
Right.
I do quite well with it. It drives me nuts. I'd rather be in my shop. But the reality of it is, same reason you're still a teacher. Devin, it's the same reason you're still running the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your day job. We got to make a living. And I'm happy. It's a good balance, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. It's, you know, people always say it's like, really, you go between it being a hobby and something you love to do, and then if it's your full-time job, right, then it's you have to go about it in a different way. You have to think about it in a different way. And I don't, like, if like making YouTube videos could be my full-time job, right, then I get to make all sorts of different stuff and that's fine. But if I'm just going to become like a knife maker, right, or like an axe restorer or something like that, like, I don't know if I'd want to do that every single day, all day, to make a living. You know, it wouldn't be fun for me anymore. You know, because the fun part is the exploration and the doing new stuff and trying new things and testing them and getting, give them away. And, you know, that's all part of the fun. That's why it's a hobby and not a full-time job.
Jim, do you have any projects at home? Any other timber framing projects you're thinking about getting going again? Because like your barn build was such a great series. Obviously, it's just so much content there.
Yeah,
is there anything else you're thinking of doing?
I have an old shop here, the Pit of Despair, I call it. I'd like to rebuild.
Okay,
and that would be that'd be like a 20x24 structure.
Okay.
I'd also like to add on to the house, but I don't know the prices of building materials these days, because outside of the frame, I can mill all that cheap enough, but everything else is ridiculous right now. I would love to do another frame here at my house. I'd love to do a million of them, to be honest with you. That was great content, and I made the mistake of pigeonholing myself into that content. You guys know how that is. People tune in for one video, you do something different, like, what the hell is this?
Right. And,
you know.
Yeah, that's our trick, is just keep mixing it up every time. So like they eventually understand that it's just gonna be something of everything.
But even then, now, you know, we mix them up now and it just, we're not gonna get many views no matter what we do. So you might as well do what you like. That's the constant thing. It's just, if you're enjoying it and you think the content's decent, that's all you got to do. It'll come and go pretty much with or without you.
So absolutely.
Just make something you like, and that's all you can do. Yeah.
I like my little shop projects. I build a lot of different stuff, and
yeah,
you know, I like doing that.
Yeah, that's definitely like, you know, I feel like when I see stuff you're making, you know, you and I have a very similar mindset on things that we enjoy making. You know, it's like the blacksmithing and the woodworking and the, it's like whenever I see something you do, I'm like, man, that's, Jim and I are right on the same page. Like, definitely, it's like, I want to do some of this. Let me try this a while, get into this. All right, I want to try this thing. Let me get into this a little bit, try this out for a bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, we're the same person that way. And you like to do it enough to get good at it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I want to be like relatively competent. You know, I'll do something enough to feel competent and I feel like I can actually do it well enough. You know, it's like,
that's a good YouTube channel name. Relatively competent.
Relatively competent. Yeah. The art of being relatively competent.
That'll be my, I'll start a new Instagram.
I like that.
Speaking of being relatively competent, I made my first little project in a while. Put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I made two wooden dice die.
Yeah.
Nice. But they're the size of like yard dice that you can get. Like, I think they're
like 4x4 or
like 4 or 3.5 square.
Okay.
Because this year I'm going to Penzic, which is Jim. It's a giant. It's like 10,000 people. Think of like a Renaissance festival / Colonial Williamsburg / like battle. But they have it every year in Pennsylvania. And we've been talking about going to those things. And Dustin did the a Viking reenactment recently.
I saw some pictures.
Yeah.
We got the video of the whole, it was a Celtic festival near us in Carroll County. So I got actually a lot of good video. So I want to get that from you, Dust, because it'll be pretty quick to edit. But that was great. Your setup was awesome. You looked good. You were with the whole family. Nicole and Kryn looked awesome.
Yeah.
My daughter cuddled right up to Kryn and like and was like looking at all the pelts and stuff. It was fun. But yeah, Penzic is a 2-week thing, and I'm only going for 4 nights. And Dust, I think I'm getting screwed with the price, because you can either buy a 1 or 2 week pass, and either way, I'm only staying for 3 nights.
Right.
I'm gonna go from Thursday to Sunday.
Okay.
But the cutoff is Thursday. They don't charge you for how long you stay. They charge you for when you show up.
Oh, no.
So if you show up the Friday, like the first Friday, on the first week, you pay for 1 week. If you show up before that, you pay for 2 weeks. So I got to pay. I'm probably going to just do it and pay for the 2 weeks, because I want to at least have 2 full days.
Right, yeah.
To go. So I'm going to go, and I figure if we go Friday, it's going to be a shit show. Getting in there, because everyone's going to go there, because that's the first day where you only got to pay for 1 week.
Right.
So at least there's that. So I'm probably going to bring a friend. Dustin can't make it, because is that Governor's Cup that weekend?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'll be sailing.
So unless you come up Thursday for a day or something, it's not going to work out. So I will represent the channel.
Yeah. So it's like a giant, everyone has a persona. Everyone's, you know, medieval, like it's that whole thing, but it's, you know, two full weeks of it.
Yeah. Right. It's like LARPing, but without the magic.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm sure there's some wizards.
It's like medieval reenactment. So there's not wizards.
Cool,
I mean, maybe
stuff.
There is.
That's cool stuff all the way.
It's just a lot of people making their own stuff, which I love. And
what's your persona, Dev?
Oh, I'm just going to be the vagabond gambler.
Nice.
But so, yeah, the first thing I made for my costume are these two wooden dice that I'm going to play with people. I'm going to play games. So I'm just going to come up to people and bet them and, like, play short little games just to introduce myself. And also, so the first day when I get there on Thursday, set up camp. And I just want to walk around and play games with people and meet people because at night, everyone has their own camps that they set up. And they all have parties and get-togethers and fires and stuff. And apparently no one charges for drinks and stuff. You just kind of come up with your, you know, and tip and, like, pitch in towards the party. Right, so my plan is just to go around and meet a bunch of people. And then Friday, I'll take out the camera and I'll interview people and just get this kind of general sense of the place and get, you know, find people with cool outfits and things they made and figure out how they made them. Just talk to me about it and then get that as the video and then walk around a little bit and get really nice footage of the whole place. Cause there's really a lack of good footage of the whole thing. Like when I look through YouTube, there's a lot of crappy cell phone camera footage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring our nice new 4K camera and I'll get a bunch of it and then get interviews with people. So, whoever wants to get interviewed, not maybe interviews, I'm just going to talk to them and ask them their name and what they're, it's like a red carpet thing. What are you wearing? Who made it?
This is made by Schlecken down at the end.
Yeah, made Schlecken. By me and Raven.
I got this off of D-Gen from Upcountry.
Yeah,
right. One giant dice.
But yeah, the dice, I'm happy with that. It's just a way to, like, you know, I love games anyway, so we'll play games with people and have fun and meet people, and I'm really excited. Nice.
You got to make, like, a way to hold, like, wear them around your neck. You know, like, maybe they have inset little hooks or something, so you can, like, have a little lanyard.
Well, the corner numbers on, like, the 3 and the 4 are drilled through. So I'm going to just put leather through it.
Sweet.
And then hang it on my belt.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'd be cool, man. I'm excited. And also Jim Devin asked me to, he was like, could you help me make this thing? He's like, I want to make a walking staff, like a walking stick staff that has tripod legs at the bottom, like 3, you know, that can splay out.
Yeah.
But it still looks like a staff, right? So he can walk along with it, but then he can put it down and put the camera on top. And, like, have it, like, standing there. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So we're starting to plan that out to make it, you know, kind of, like, camouflage. Like, you know, just walk around, and then all of a sudden he can put his camera down and then talk to people. So that'll be fun. We'll have to look at that and kind of figure out what we can do and see if it'll make a good video.
Yeah.
You know, what if you took a, made it a little bit of a slightly shorter staff, drilled out the bottom of it.
Right.
And did, like, a set of tripod legs that kind of fold up into it.
That's what I was thinking. They have these, they have the monopods, just the one stick, and a lot of those come with the bottom little 3 legs that fold up. And some of them do fold up real tight into, like, an inch and a half single wide layer tube, and then you just throw them. So I think I can get one of those. And we'll just cut the bottom of the staff flat and then, you know, get the whatever the screw is, whatever the bolt is.
We'll put that
in the bottom and then spray paint it all kind of brown to kind of match. You know, it's kind of like a magic thing. And I can just set it up and then have I just don't want to make a scene. And I just want people to feel as you just want to capture natural feelings. You don't want to bring, like, a bounce board, and I don't want to have all my gear and mic them up. I just want to stand there right next to the staff and be like, hey, what's your name? What do you do here? Are you excited? How do you feel? Just get very general things and let them ramble, and then that will be the narration of the video.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's making me jealous. Like, I really want to go, but it's like just the weekends just don't work. I'm like, yeah. So what was this, like, I guess, whatever. Sometime earlier this year, we started talking about you know, the Renaissance Festival. We've always loved to go to the Renaissance festivals, you know, spend a day just in that. Everyone's dressed up, all sorts of different things, but it's just in this, like, you know, everyone's walking around, like, there's jugglers and performers and, you know, turkey legs and stuff. All, it's just a cool thing, a jousting, and, you know, and then, so we were, like, looking into what we could do, and so, like, looking further and further into it and looking into the, like, the Society for Creative Anachronisms, the SCA, which is all like the people who have the personas and what they do. And that's when we found Penzic. And then from that, then Nicole and I were like, okay, well, we really like this idea of doing this. So then we started like going deeper and deeper. And then we got like almost past that into like actual reenactment. So then it was a group that we had seen before, but Nicole kind of found them on Facebook, the Njorders Wanderers, which is like a Viking reenactment group that does a bunch of stuff in this kind of Middle East Coast area. And and last weekend was our first time. So, but it's like we're definitely into the idea and trying to come up with the personas and stuff. So,
but I think it's neat. I cool. see you guys are into that. It's kind of cool. We don't have anything neat like that around here. and we're off in the middle of friggin' nowhere too. You know, we've got Canada, but that's
there's Canada. You know.
They're kind of old school.
Yeah. Just go up and just reenact Canadians. Canadians.
Yeah. Where's your moose at, buddy?
But yeah, so yeah, I'm excited, and I think I got either my buddy Guy or Steve is going to go with me, Dustin. I've been pitting them against each other, trying to like encourage them to do it.
Which one's the better friend? Is it
because my one friend just complains and asks too many questions. It's Guy. He's like, I really got to dress up and do this. And how much is it? Where are we going? I'm like, look, either, come on. You want to do it or not?
Or don't. Yeah, right.
I'm trying to get him going a little tough love, but I think Guy's going to go with me, and I'm going to make him dress up, and we're going to have fun. And yeah.
Yeah, man, I heard the parties are wild, so, you know, if you can get there, go to crazy parties.
As long as he can hang. I think Guy can hang. I don't know. Sometimes he gets...
He can walk back to the tent.
He's got a slow recovery. Got to recover quick, buddy.
Yeah, you got to build up those skills for maker camp too, right?
That's right. That's right. Go get some bacon and toast, and
start it again.
Re-meet everyone you met last night.
Yeah. Party till 3:30, and then get up at 8.
I'm excited. Yeah. The first one I ripped it up.
You'll be up just with the rest of us.
And the second one I got better, but now I missed the third one, so I feel like when I get back I'm gonna push it too far. So I'll be good. But it's gonna be fun.
Right, exactly. What's your reasoning? Jim's got to go up and do something. So do I.
I don't want to put a timber frame together, you know, when the bush is throwing up. But
that's why you do the timber. And you give everybody else the skills. You build their skills in the timber, and they can just build it for you.
Yeah.
Well, no, shit. I'll just start pouring it on at 8:00 in the morning. They could get the real gym in daylight hours and get to the after party.
that's the real gym. You're getting all of me now.
No, I'm really excited, and I'm glad all you guys have you've all risen up, and now you guys are teaching us stuff, and it's great, and everyone's kind of moving up together, and it's just so much fun. I'm so excited.
We've kind of found a home there, I think.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
You're doing it for. We're not doing it for view counts or anything. Like, it's just a great place to be. You do it because you love doing it, and you meet some awesome people, and it's really cool.
It's become the event that like we all look forward to. It's like what Workbench Con and all these other like, you know, Maker Central, these different things that have been kind of happening over the years. But this is a more intimate one.
This is special. This is very special what we got going on there.
Yeah, and I think everyone feels it when they go, and you know, so it's awesome.
Oh yeah,
I'm excited.
Definitely.
Cool. All right, Jim. Well, we're gonna wrap it up. Do you have a recommendation for the?
I actually do. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the great courses that you can get on Audible, but they're actually graduate level lecture series on history, stuff like that. I listen to a lot of those. I think the last one I listened to was on Eastern European history, going back to medieval times. Pretty neat stuff.
Oh, dang. Oh, very topical.
I love stuff nice. Like that, believe it or not.
Heck yeah. That's well, sweet. You know, next year you can come down to Penzick and we can build a real structure, not just a silly cool. tent.
Bring my hue and axe down.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That, oh man, we should be. The cool. funny thing, no, it's not funny. The thing is, you can become. It's I think it's called a land agent, and you go yeah. down and you get to pick your spot, and then you go have. Right, I think yeah. you gotta have like 10 people, but then you get to cordon off your own medieval camp. And yeah. I think one day, if we could get enough people, that oh man, how cool would that be? That we'd have a little spot.
The Viking hordes from Maryland with me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hey, yeah. yeah. We got like four or awesome. Five people already just with the O'Haras. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Jim, is that like with through Audible, is any specific like author or like how did you find this or do they just like are they labeled as like learning series? Is there anything like that specifically?
They're labeled if you just type in the great courses.
Oh, that's what you said. Yeah, the great courses. Yeah. Awesome.
There's a ton of different graduate level lecture series.
Oh, cool.
Very straightforward, some really good stuff in there. About anything nice. You want, right up to quantum said, physics if you're into that kind of nonsense.
That's on you said Spotify?
On Audible. No, on Audible.
On Audible, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I've been digging through Spotify's library of stuff. They started putting that type of stuff on other than podcasts, like books and stuff read by people, and you get like 15 hours a month. So I've been listening to that stuff too. Yeah, that's all I do driving to work is either listen to podcasts or books on tape.
Mm-hmm. Now, I tell you what, nice. I'm on the road some days 8 hours a day on top of an 8 hour work day.
Jeez.
And yeah, that's what my life's been lately. So yeah. those Audible books and all that stuff come in handy.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. Nice.
All right, Dev, how about you? What do you got?
I'm going to be very topical. There's a new HBO documentary called Renfair.
Oh, nice.
It's about the Texas Renaissance Festival. It's very strange. It's very dark. This old guy is basically thinking about handing over the reins to somebody, and everyone's jockeying for position to try to take over the. Because apparently Texas one is like the biggest one in the country.
Gotcha.
But. Really cool documentary. Kind of weird. It's shot weird. They've got like some narrative stuff at the end of each episode that's not a documentary. But okay. It's really good. It's kind of dark. Like the guy who owns it's kind of a weird old pervert king. Like everyone, he's like he thinks he's the king of everything. But then he's also kind of gross, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it makes a great documentary.
Nice.
So yeah, it's an HBO thing too, so it's quality. So just sweet. Renfair on Renfair. HBO. It's, nice. It just came out like a month ago, huh? It's only three episodes.
Sweet, man, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah,
good stuff.
All right, my recommendation this week is Mr. Chickadee. He's a YouTube channel and has Instagram. Does a lot of. It's funny because he does obviously a lot of stuff, this similar type of stuff that you do, Jim, although it's like his stuff is all, you know, very historical and using almost all hand tools and stuff, but like, yeah, timber framing and all. But then he also has been doing a little bit of chisel making and things recently.
Yeah, he's good.
A guy reached out to him from maybe from Japan to make him a more Japanese, like, you know, woodworking chisel. So I've been seeing him like kind of post about that. I found out about Mr. Chickadee back years ago, actually from a shout out from Rango Star about him, and he does some cool stuff. I've probably shouted him out on the channel, on the YouTube, on the podcast before, but he does cool stuff, and it's all just him working, like no talking. Okay, like I've seen, I think one interview with him of somebody else talking to him, but. He's just working in his shop, so it's nice, kind of ASMR style, just quiet, like him showing you how to do cool traditional stuff. So,
fun fact, he's a retired Marine.
Yep, I didn't know that. It's funny too because like he doesn't come off as like he's very calm, very like suit, just like easy, like very like hippie, But, you know, but it, you realize, like, once you do know that he's, like, you can see the like, the dedication and the, you know, the, you know, like, just the ability to work on something and focus and, like,
discipline.
Have that discipline. Yeah, right, exactly. So,
oh, yeah, like, he's amazing.
That makes sense. Yeah,
he's it's incredible.
Really cool channel. Yeah. So, yeah, check him out. That's Mr. Chickadee on Instagram and YouTube. Cool. All right. Well, Jim, if people do want to do the Timber Inn with you this year, where can they find stuff for the Timber Inn to buy tickets and
information? So go to the Blackthorn Resort website. I can't remember the – if you just type in the Blackthorn Resort, it should pop up.
Yeah.
Same place you go to get your tickets for Maker's Camp.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Nice. Yes,
right it's on. A great and then, event. Yeah. And then, yeah, so you'll be doing that. You'll be teaching it, leading the way. I'm excited to see you do that because I know you always, like, they're, like, I will say that when we're all working together, like, everyone, it's nice. It's a group. Everyone has confidence, right? Everyone's, like, trying to help out where they are. But some people can step up, and you can tell that they have the experience and, you like, and just are natural leaders. And you've always felt that way when we're all together at the Timber Inn. So it's, I'm excited that you'll be leading that up this year. And obviously we'll all miss Justin because we all love Justin, but we all love everybody that's there. So everybody can't make it every year. So I think you're going to do an awesome job stepping
we'll
in.
We'll see what develops. I'm excited. I hope I plan it out as well as Justin did. So see what happens.
And then if you guys want to see see what Jim's been doing or what he hasn't been doing, but what he was doing on YouTube 6 months ago, you can go to the Tradesman channel on YouTube, and you can also go to the Tradesman channel on Instagram and follow along with Jim and harass him a little bit and tell him get some of that time off, all that time off you have, use it to make more content because we love seeing your stuff, Jim.
Yeah, you taught me not to talk so much.
I was like, perfect. I was like, I like to talk. I can't do a monologue that long, and you're like you ramble, but it doesn't, it's not repeating itself. You know, it's like, it's like whenever I see people do that, they're like talking and it's succinct and your ideas, they're like flowing, you know, that's like, it's a long conversation, but it's not repeating. It's not saying the same thing. It's like interesting the whole way. Occasionally it gets long, but that's okay.
No,
it's
just, no, listen,
it's your charm.
I'll tell you
Jim.
What, it's not charming because I go back and watch some of those, see where I can improve. I get about a minute into it. It's like, why doesn't this guy shut up? And I end up turning my own videos off because this is just ridiculous.
You need someone like me to go, no, that was good, but I think you can say that about in 30 seconds.
What I need to do is turn the filter off. If I turn the filter off, I'm either going to get thrown off that platform or the channel's going to explode.
Right. No, it'll explode. They're just that you. It won't be monetized.
No. Right. What's the point of that?
I know.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Jim, it's always a pleasure, man. I love
great talking
with
you guys. And,
Jim. Really excited to see you again at Maker Camp this year.
Can't wait.
Again, guys, you can head over to the Blackthorn Resort website, and if you want to go and join Jim and everybody else who's going to be doing the timber framing class, the Timber Inn, and then you can meet us at Maker Camp and actually put it together, which we'll all be a part of. And if you want to see what Devin and I are doing, you can go over to The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube, and then you can also find us on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy and see what's going on. You can check out Devin's dice that he's been working on. Looking good. And then if you want to support us further, we always appreciate everyone who does that and has the desire to support makers. And if you do, you can go to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. And if you don't, that's fine too, because we love chatting and we love hanging out with people and we love love having awesome guests on like you, Jim. So
it's a blast, man. That. Well, thank you for having me, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, great. Man. Fun. All right, everybody. Thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.